Acts chapter 4. This is about Peter and John before the Sanhedrin and being arrested. Now, last time we saw that they had healed a lame man, a man who couldn't walk. They made the man walk again, and the Jews didn't like it. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came upon Peter and John while they were teaching the people. They were very upset because the apostles were teaching the people and teaching in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. And they got mad about it. They got angry that people were speaking the good news.
Now that wasn't very good of them to do.
It wasn't good of them to do that. Because people are jealous. When you tell them that you can be resurrected from the dead, because everyone's going to die, Nan and Pa are going to die, Ma and Grandad are going to die, we're all going to die, but in Jesus we can be resurrected, and people got angry about it. They grabbed Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in prison until the next day. But many who heard the message believed, and the number of believers grew to about 5,000. So, the more opposition they got, the more God worked through them. So actually, you can't do anything against the truth. Because even if you try to stop people from teaching or preaching it, only it works out that more people believe. The next day, the rulers, elders and teachers of the law gathered in Jerusalem. Annas the high priest was there, along with Caiaphas, John, Alexander and the other people of the high priest's family. They had Peter and John dragged before them and began to question them, "By what power or what authority did you do this?" Now, you don't need any authority from men to preach because Jesus has told us to go and preach.
Yeah.
So Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, "Rulers, elders of the people, if we're being asked to answer today for an act of grace shown to the lame man, and are asked how he was healed, then be informed, you and all the people of Israel, it is in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you perfectly whole. Jesus is the stone which you builders rejected, who has become the chief cornerstone." So the cornerstone of a building is what the building is built upon, and we are the building. We are the temple of God, and Jesus, who the builders didn't want, he is the one who is the cornerstone of it. So then, if you get rejected by people, if people laugh at you because you're Christian, then they rejected Jesus. But God worked through him. Salvation, Peter goes on, is found in nobody else. For there is no other name under heaven which has been given to men in which we must be saved. So there's no other religion that leads to salvation. It's only in the name of Jesus. It's only true Christianity. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and realized that they were unschooled, illiterate men, they were amazed. And they noticed that these men had been with Jesus. So Peter and John were fishermen. They hadn't been to school. They didn't know their letters. You probably know more letters than they do, than they did, because you can read and write, but they couldn't. But all the same, they could stand up there and teach everybody about Jesus because they had been with Jesus. But since they could see the man who'd been healed standing there with them, there was nothing they could say against them. So they ordered them to go away from the Sanhedrin, and then they alone conferred with each other. What are we going to do with these men? Everybody who lives in Jerusalem knows that they have done an amazing miracle, and we cannot deny it. But to stop this thing from spreading any further among the people, let us warn these men to no longer preach or teach in this name, that is, in the name of Jesus. So they called them in again.
Later on you read that Peter said, "Who will we serve, God or Jesus? We won't listen to you."
God or man, yeah, that's right. Who should we obey, God or men? That's right, so we're now going to read him saying that. They called them in again, and Peter and John replied, judge for yourselves whether it is right in God's sight to obey men or God. We cannot but speak the things which we have seen and heard. So when there comes a choice to follow what men say or follow what God say, we must follow what God says. Even if men say you can't, we must be obedient to men and do all that they ask us to do. But when it comes into conflict with what God says, we've got to follow God above what men tell us. After further threatening them, they let them go. They didn't know how to punish them because all the people were praising God for what had happened, because the man was over 40 years old who had been healed. So you see how weak people are. One minute they were all for Jesus, all rah rah, then they're screaming, crucify him, crucify him, then they crucify him. Now after he's resurrected, Peter's preaching about him and everyone's like, yes, yes, this is wonderful, this is wonderful. So when people say, oh, I'll be your friend, you're wonderful, you've got to remember that people can change, but the one who doesn't change is God and Jesus. When they were released, Peter and John went back to their own people, that is, to the other believers, and told them all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. When they heard this, they raised their voices together in prayer to God. Lord, they said, you created the heaven and the earth and the sea and everything in them. You spoke by the Holy Spirit in the mouth of your servant David. Why do the nations rage and the peoples plot in vain? The kings of the earth take their stand, the rulers gather together against the Lord and against his anointed one. Now, Christ means anointed, anointed one. So they quote here one of the Psalms of David, back from the Old Testament. And they say that the Holy Spirit spoke through the mouth of David. So what David wrote and said was inspired. That is, the Bible is not just the ideas of men or David. It was God's Spirit speaking through them. And they go on, indeed, Herod, Pontius Pilate, and all the Gentiles and the people of Israel gather together in this city to plot against your holy child Jesus, whom you anointed. They did what your will had decided beforehand should happen. So now, Lord, consider their threats and give us power as your servants to speak your word with boldness. So consider their threats. That reminds me of Hezekiah putting the horrible letter that he got from Sennacherib before the Lord. Now, of course, God knows all things. But they said to God, please look at this. Please be aware of our situation here on earth. And they went on, stretch out your hand to heal and perform miracles and signs and wonders in the name of your holy child Jesus. And they prayed, and the place where they were meeting was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. It's been pretty hard to be brave when they've just been put in prison and been threatened. If you preach again, we're going to make you suffer. And so they prayed to God to give them boldness. And that's what we should be, bold in telling other people about Jesus. All the believers were of one heart and mind. Nobody claimed that anything that he had was his own, but they shared everything they had. With great power, the apostles continued to witness to the resurrection of the Lord Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There were no needy ones among them, for those who owned lands or houses sold them, brought the money from what they had sold and put it before the apostles' feet, and it was shared out to anyone who had need. Joseph, a Levite from Cyprus, who was called Barnabas, which means son of encouragement, sold a field and brought the money and put it at the apostles' feet. Now, Levites weren't supposed to own any property, because they were supposed to just concentrate on doing God's work. And so they tried to get out of it by owning property not in Israel, but in Cyprus, which was an island just off the coast of Israel. And This man realized that, yes, I was just trying to get round God's law, and he was sorry about it, and sold his field that he had in Cyprus and gave the money to distribute to the poor Christians. So we must get the lesson that we are not to try to get round God's law, that, okay, I must be quiet in here. Like, let's say Mummy says, I don't want you making so much noise in here. If you're screaming or doing something.
Go upstairs and do it.
And then you just go upstairs and do it, or you go to another room and do it. Well, what Mummy meant was be quiet generally, and you know that. So we mustn't play games with God, that, oh, God said you should do this. Well, I'll sort of do it, but I'll get round exactly what he meant by being clever. You can't be clever with God. You can't play games with God. From all our heart, we should want to serve God, and that's what Barnabas did.